Good evening. Hello and welcome to the Cycling Matters podcast, your weekly dose of discussions about our love for bike. This podcast is brought to you in cooperation with Ciclo. Hello, I'm Karen.
And I'm Jan.
So in this episode, we talk about how cyclists stink. Mabaho, madungis, kasi masyadong mainit para sa magbike sa Pilipinas. We also talk about how it's too dangerous to cycle in our cities. Too dangerous for any sane person to consider doing this. We talk about how cycling should only be an option for those who can't afford better. We talk about how cycling is only for cyclists. And a few other unfounded baseless misconceptions that usually come from people who don't actually ride bikes. So, before everything else, do subscribe to the Cycling Matters podcast on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or other podcast platforms. We release new episodes every Monday. Just search Cycling Matters, tap subscribe or follow, and enjoy the discussion. So please don't unfollow us for me saying that. That was sarcastic, okay? I don't know if I pulled that off because I'm not a sarcastic person.
Yeah, of course, those are misconceptions and we're here to debunk them. Okay, yes?
But yes, before anything else, I think Jan will just catch us up on stuff we might have missed throughout.
All right. In case you missed it, we have several things that have happened since our last podcast episode. So number one, of course, the DOTR and the MMDA, Department of Transportation and Metro Manila Development Authority, continue to try and be slightly confusing. No? So they had their new statement that protected lanes will be made. Originally, of course, diba, akala natin na, they originally were planning na yung bike lanes ay dapat elevated and protected daw na nasa tabi ng sidewalk. But now, through a discussion between the two government agencies, nag-decide sila na maglalagay na ng protected bike lanes. And we've shown you through our posts in the past few days na mayroon ng a draft layout. So they're using temporarily they're using paint to draw the lines. According to the different statements by the MMDA and also the workers who were painting the road na maglalagay daw sila ng bollards para talagang protected. I also, I think I saw earlier that they would also make those bollards, metal bollards.
Oh.
So we're definitely looking out and seeing how exactly they'll be pulling it off. Pero medyo confusing pa rin, no? Because we've seen that there are some parts or segments of EDSA na 2 meters or 1.5 meters following the international standards, but also you see some parts that are 1 meter or less, which apparently do follow the DILG standard, but not necessarily international standards. You were saying something, guy.
Yep, pretty interesting because you actually went to these bike lanes.
Yeah.
And you got to.
Kanina pumunta ako kamuning. I had an errand. May pinick up akong document doon. And nagkataon ay nadala ko rin from last. Nilagay ko na kasi sa saddlebag ko yung ano yung measuring tape. So, naalala ko yung measuring tape nga pala sa saddlebag. And then, wore it out, took some photos. And for those who haven't seen it, check out our Facebook profile. We have a post about some measurements of the bike lane. Yeah. Also, in case you missed it, there were some protests recently and we saw a lot of people using bikes. Just like Chel Jokno and even Kit Belmonte. And that's interesting because just whatever their political leanings, no, to actually attend a protest on a bike when they could have ridden a car is something to be, noteworthy.
And it wasn't even a protest about like cycling or mobility. It was Independence Day protests. Yeah.
Yeah. So usually you only see other politicians probably riding their bikes to bike-related causes and events. Pero ito, totally unrelated, but they chose their bikes. I wonder why. No?
I hope they do that more often. Like, cause I mean, it's a nice thing to do. Like, not just for protesting for better mobility, but for other causes as well.
Oh, my. And I hope other politicians also follow suit.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, other things that happened. We've seen a public repair tool set being installed by a politician in Quezon City, particularly in Loyola Heights. So that's one nice effort so far that we've seen, and we hope that more will pop up. It's not very expensive. Think of it, if you think of it, diba? Merong pump, merong other tools there. Although walang Allen wrench, but you know, for people who might need tools, kahit wala sila sa bahay, that might be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, in the past few days, we've heard from Bayani Fernando talking about his recommendation that bikes shouldn't be allowed on EDSA, which is a very contentious topic to hear from an ex-MMDA official.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way he phrased it is like, do not focus on bike lanes. And I guess something we need to be thinking about is that, you know, when we're talking about protected bike lanes, when we're asking for better infrastructure for bicycles, we're not saying focus on just bicycles. Bicycles are not the ultimate solution to everything transport related. We're asking for just the bare minimum so that people can ride their bikes safely, all while improvements and developments are being made on public transport.
Yeah, I think because there's always for some people, like, there's this false dichotomy of cycling and public transport. Like, I've encountered some, I argued with someone on Twitter about it, but yeah, and it's usually by people who don't really bike, I guess, or bike commute. But yeah, I really think this it's a false dichotomy. Like, why are you pitting cycling against public transport when, like, ideally, those two are very complementary to each other,
right?
Especially if you put systems in place for bimodal transport to be successful, like where people can bring their bikes, not just folding bikes, on buses, on trains. So, and you know, like, these are two, like, it's like MMDA and DOTR. I'm sure they have all the resources also to not just,
yeah.
You know, like, hindi naman pwede focus like on one lang. I don't know. Oh, and I have another thing that we might have missed out on.
Right.
So, you know, given that it's GCQ in Metro Manila, we know that other people are going out to bike more.
Right.
So, I think it's just important to, you know, like, we just have to, I guess, reiterate, like, to follow guidelines on physical distancing.
Right.
I mean, of course, we miss cycling, but it's for, you know, our own safety. And also, I mean, we don't want to, like, tarnish the reputation of cyclists as reckless people, you know, because I know there are people, like, going on leisurely rides, which is fine for exercise. But then, you know, we have to, you know, be safe, like, you know, practice physical distancing and, you know, because cycling is supposed to be a safe activity for for getting exercise well during this COVID pandemic. But then gotta remember to practice physical distancing.
Yeah.
Just good a point. Gentle reminder.
Yeah, good point, social distancing. And that also takes us back to that point about not focusing on just bicycles, bike lanes, and still paying attention to public transport. We shouldn't forget, and I hope that our transport officials aren't forgetting that whenever, you know, cyclists don't just ride their bikes. Sometimes you also take public transport. Even if I do bike commute every day, one thing I'm planning and hoping to do is magkaroon ako ng folding bike para kaya kong mag-LRT or MRT for convenient. But then again, in our current context, under the ECQ and GCQ, while the pandemic is still here, the public transport, while it's banned, is really not something that's viable at the moment. So naturally, we will have to focus currently on bike infrastructure and solutions. And then eventually, of course, we should be working on both public transport and bike infrastructure as things that complement each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we're done for that part, in case you missed it. And we can go straight to our topic for the day, which is
misconceptions
about cycling
and misconceptions.
Right. So first thing, of course, laging sasabihin, masyadong mainit sa Pilipinas.
I think that's the first thing people say.
Right? It's true. Mainit sa Pilipinas. We are a tropical country.
Mm-hmm.
But there are hotter places that have robust cycling communities. There are, even in the European countries, Western countries, they do have their summer seasons, and minsan yung summer nila mas mainit pa kaysa sa summer dito. But that doesn't stop their cycling communities from continuing to ride their bikes. On the other hand, there are countries also where the weather is colder, where people are used to riding their bikes despite the rain and snow.
Yeah, so, I think we mentioned this in other podcast episodes, but it's a pretty, I think, unique problem in the Philippines that, I don't know, di ko alam kung ma-artet lang talaga tayo, but if you think about it, like, our weather conditions, they're not that bad. Like, they don't go that extreme.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why is it such a bad thing to sweat, right?
I think part of it talaga is stigma, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
for a nation that is a tropical country, we're sobrang ayaw natin mainitan, ayaw natin mangitim, ayaw natin mamawis. And at some point, we have to, you know, deal with that fact that we were born here. And it's something that we can deal with as long as we're preparing and we're surmounting these obstacles.
And the thing is, like, when you're, I think people forget, like, when you're riding a bike, I guess because if you don't ride a bike, you're not gonna know. When you're actually cycling, you get the breeze.
Yeah.
Like, it's breezy. Like, I guess, especially, like, if you compare, like, walking with cycling, like, mainitan ka talaga if, like, you're just standing or, I guess, like, slowly walking. But because when you're cycling, like, you're cruising. So, and especially if you're riding along an area with trees, like, you really feel the breeze. So, there have been days that, like, I've biked at, like, 12 noon, 1 p.m., 2 p.m., the hottest points of the day. But it's usually unbearable when there are no trees around and puro asfalto lang, mostly cars, because the nare-reflect yung heat from the cars. So, that's usually when it gets unbearable, but for the most part, it's doable. And I think, well, like, you can't really, temperature is not something we can really control necessarily. I guess maybe.
We can actually if we use less cars, right?
No, I mean, in terms of like, well, so the temperature is there, but then what we can control, I guess, is yung mga man made factors.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Trying to lessen the presence of cars, because it, the thing is, like, I think what people don't realize who are in cars, like, okay, you're cool inside the car, but it makes it hotter for everyone else who's outside.
Right.
And you have to remember that only 12%,
tama ba 12%?
A small percentage of households own cars. So, I guess, I mean, again, I'm not anti-car. Like, there are cars that have their purposes, but then, overall, like, for example, for, like, small trips, for certain commutes, like it's helpful to have to ride the bike or take public transport, because, I don't know, like, we're putting the quality of life of others, like, at a risk, I guess, because
And there are ways to deal with it. Like, mm-hmm. we can have hydration facilities on the road if our government would support such infrastructure. Personally, we could also use things like sweat wicking clothing during the month, like shirts, or again, we're going to be mentioning a Uniqlo product here, but like your Aerism product ng Nanginiglo. And then there are other, di ba? And there are other, some people even use their jerseys, they wear their lycra when commuting. So that helps our sweat to dry more easily, and so that we're also cooler while we're riding. And also, yes, of course, we can, di ba, plant more trees on the road. We've shared this several times on our page. Different streets, like the ones in New Manila, the one in Manila, dun sa Santa Mesa, Bandana. Whenever there are trees on the sidewalk that sort of like provide shade on the road, mas manageable, mas cool yung air, and it's a lot more friendly for people who want to ride their bikes.
Yeah, that's true. I guess in relation to it's too hot, of course, when it's hot, you sweat, right? And I guess another misconception is mabaho ang mga siklista. I think it's a misconception because, well, first and foremost, like, if you really think about it, what's so bad about sweating? Like, sweating is a cooling, the body's response, like, to cool itself down. So, what's so bad about it? But I guess, like, you know, thinking about it, we've been taught na like, di ka pwede maging pawis or like baka matuyuan ka ng pawis or something like that. I think that's something I was always told and stuff. So, and like Jan, what Jan said, sorry, I'm daming like. what Jan said, yeah, this isn't an insurmountable obstacle. Like, there are ways to get around it. Like, hydration facilities, better bathroom, shower facilities. And I don't know, like, when I started bike commuting regularly, like, to me, the benefits of cycling far outweigh the quotation mark cons of sweating, because I'm just like, okay, I sweat, and then I'll bring a towel and then I'll clean myself up, right? So, so I don't know. What do you think, Jan?
Yeah, you know, to be fair, we have to understand then, di ba, na if you're going to a business meeting, you don't want to smell bad. That is a reality. But yun, yeah, there are ways to deal with it. We've talked in several of in other podcast episodes where pwede kang gumamit ng ano yun? Microfiber towel to really freshen up. Some people use alcohol or mayroon nga iba talaga naliligo, di ba? Whenever they have that facility available. But it would be nice if there would be policies that would even incentivize companies to have shower facilities in their offices so that more of their employees will be encouraged to ride their bikes to work.
Yeah, and I think I just thought of this, like, another interesting thing, like with the sweating thing. When you get used to cycling to work, commuting by cycling, your body gets used to it, so you don't sweat as much if you pace yourself. Yeah. So, like, you can bypass that issue, like, pretty fine. And again, like, I think we have to destigmatize the whole sweating thing. Or yeah, providing like facilities to like shower and stuff. Because I don't know, sweating is not the worst thing in the world, honestly. Like,
correct. Wala na lang ibang madagdag dun pang. To be honest, we just need to get over the fact that we live in a tropical country. We will sweat, we can manage that sweat, and if we have shower facilities, we can get rid of that sweat. But sweating while riding should be acceptable. In fact, when you're riding, usually you don't sweat because of the breeze. Mm-hmm. Some of us start sweating once we're done riding, once we get to our destination.
Yes.
But I guess so, we can move on.
Yeah, so I guess, like, we're talking about misconceptions of cycling as people who have biked regularly for quite a while, but we also have had our own personal misconceptions about cycling. So, Jan, would you care to share your own misconceptions and myths that you believed before you were a regular cyclist?
Right. So, to me, dalawa yung misconceptions that I had personally. So, una yung, it's not for me. Growing up with a privileged background, lumaki ako na disasakyan, hinahatid sundo ako ng nakasasakyan, nakakotse. And, I was raised thinking na, okay, may tipo ng tao na nagbabike lang sila, or it's just a choice. It's just for people who don't have a choice. They can't afford cars, so they'll ride the bike. And that's not for my kind of people. Eventually, I learned na, it doesn't have to be about your social status. It doesn't have to be about your gender. It's not about anything. It's a bike. Anyone can ride it. And if we get more people on bikes, then the conditions would improve for a lot of us. Another misconception I had previously is that road bikes are not comfortable, which is, just a valid misconception, I guess, because some people really don't want yung main concern, di ba? Kasi walang suspension yung road bikes. But I was able to manage it, I think, with proper handling and skills as you get used to it. Yung mga lubak, they start to become manageable. But of course, that depends on your type of riding, that depends on your route. I don't immediately recommend road bikes to people unless they mention, I want to get to work a bit faster. I don't want to carry something that's too heavy or stuff like that.
Yeah. So speaking of road bikes and stuff, so what do you call this? I used to think, like, in terms of like bike commuting, that mountain bike lang yung pwedeng gamitin para pang commute sa Metro Manila dahil sa mga potholes, yung mga lubak, kasi the roads of Metro Manila are very, harsh. But kaya naman pala sa road bike. And I think personally, I'm not saying that this is a universal experience. This is just my experience. Na I think it was helpful for me to go on a road bike because of the weight, I guess. Like, the weight of the road bike, like, it's a lot lighter. So, I wasn't even, like, very athletic. Like, I had just come from a very sedentary lifestyle. But because I had a good machine, I had a good bike, I was able to get better at bike commuting. So, kaya naman. Like, I guess because also the roads that I pass, like, they're pretty okay naman. So pwede naman road bike gamitin yung pang commute. Like, so,
you're starting to sound biased.
No. I'm not saying that everyone should get a road bike. Yeah. Like, we actually have an article on cyclingmatters.ph about, like, what bike would be best for your commute. So I'm not saying that the road bike is the best bike for commuting. Like, it really depends on your purpose. It's just now, for me, I found that it worked for me. So, and it's just not, because it was a common, like, misconception na kailangan mountain bike talaga kasi parang nasa mountains yung kind of road yung sa Metro Manila. Yan lang naman. And, but in general, like, a big misconception I had, I think, not even sure if, like, it's a misconception, like, I just didn't consider bike commuting. Like, I guess, especially when I was younger, because I grew up in a household where, like, palaging hatid sundo nga, as in, private car all the time. Even getting it to distances of, like, 5 minutes away, nakakotse. So, I really didn't imagine cycling as a viable mode of transport. I guess, like, to me, like, cyclists are invisible to me because I was always a passenger in a car. Right. So I don't really minsan tulog lang ako sa kotse, or I'm just wala lang listening to my music, or, like, looking at the scenery. But sometimes you fail to notice, like, fellow road users as well. So I guess I only noticed cyclists more, like, when I knew other people who were cycling. So, I just find it interesting because wala, like, I remember listening to this podcast, but it was about work. But then it was an anthropologist who mentioned about human possibility, because there's a tendency for us to think that human possibility is so limited. But then if you think about it, like we can actually like do a lot more things than we imagine. Like it hasn't always been like this, like, or it doesn't always have to be like this, diba? Like we don't have to stick with a car centric culture, yeah. Especially if it's bad for us. So la lang, like I think it's because I grew up in a household that was very like, you know, how do I say this? As in, basta, like, there's only one way to do things. But then if you think about it, like if you try to expand your horizons, like there are better ways about going about things. And I'm so glad that I started commuting by bike, because it's, for me, it's a better way of getting around. Like I don't have to like be stuck in traffic and waste so much time. And I also get to exercise. It's so much fun. Like you guys can also comment, you know, your misconceptions.
Yes, let us know what personal misconceptions did you have.
You can shout it out here.
Bike commute.
Yeah, so I guess in the meantime, we can continue with our other misconceptions that we wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So another misconception, I think, of commuting by bike in metro in the Philippines is na masyadong delikado magbike sa Pilipinas. And I know, like I personally believed that before, and that was ingrained in me, as in like I had to hide that I was cycling, because I felt like my parents would not be comfortable with it.
Mm.
But I think something that's important to note is that especially like us as cyclists, that you realize that it's not cycling in itself that's innately dangerous. It's especially in like the Philippines and Metro Manila very specifically, that it's the environment that we're in that's very hostile, not just to cycling, but for mobility in general, right? So yeah, like Jan, do you have any other thoughts about this?
Yeah, I mean, may part din yan, no? Yung masyadong delikado yung mga kotse or truck or motor sa Pilipinas. And kanina, nung nag-commute ako, nung kinuha ko yung document from the office that I went to, interesting yung sinabi sa akin nung isang tao. Sabi niya, "Oy, ingat. Ingat ka. Malaki ang kasabay sa kalsada." Laki ng, yun. Pare yung nagsabi, so ganun siya magsalita. Oh. Mag-ingat. Mag-ingat ka. Malaki ang kasabay sa kalsada. Sabi niya ganun. Doon ako napaisip na talagang, totoo nga yun. That's one way to put it, no? It's not necessarily cycling itself that's dangerous, but the fact, what's dangerous is that yung mayroon pang ibang road users na nakikigamit din ng kalsada. And that's not a bad thing. Of course, there are many types of road users. But of course, it's the environment that we need to be improving. How we should be allowed to ride our bikes no matter where the road is, no matter how huge or small, big or small, the other road users are. We should have mutual respect as different road users. But of course, I think something that we need to improve on is to prioritize the safety of vulnerable road users.
Definitely.
Merong mga naka-bike, naka-e-scooter, electric kick scooter. Merong then of course the pedestrians also part of this picture, diba? That we need to protect, because unlike the cars and trucks na merong metal frames that protect them and even endanger other road users, diba? Tayo, we're more exposed to them.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. I think something that I think more people should keep in mind is that we really need to shift the blame away from vulnerable road users, like whether it's cyclists, pedestrians, because think about it, like usually it's like pag na-discrasya sila, usually like they're the ones who are blamed first, like, oh, hindi ka naka-helmet kasi, or you're not attentive, like, oh, you were you were listening to music kasi while walking. But you have to remember din that, like, okay, for example, people who are behind the wheel, like, they're maneuvering a 2-ton machines or kahit motorcycle, that's like 400 pounds at least, diba?
Yeah.
So, so I think we really need to shift away the blame from the, of course, like, it doesn't mean they should be reckless and irresponsible. Of course, like, cyclists should be responsible and the like. But then, I don't know. I just don't like it when people immediately blame the.
Yeah, I think what you're getting at is that, you know, when cyclists should be responsible. Okay, mm-hmm. We should wear helmets whenever we can afford it. We should have safety gear and things like front and rear lights, right? But when cyclists make mistakes, they don't end up, it's very rare that they end up killing people. And that doesn't work the same way when it comes to car drivers, right? Mm-hmm. When you're driving a 2-ton vehicle, the slightest mistake, a few seconds, yeah, just checking your phone can kill you and get you killed and can also get other people killed. That could be other drivers or cyclists or pedestrians crossing the road. There's much more risk
mm-hmm.
coming from four-wheeled motorized vehicles versus cyclists. So there should be some more, you know, responsibility for them because they're a clear and present danger to all other vulnerable road users.
Yeah, so diba, like, why are we saying that bikes are the problem when it's bigger vehicles that are more likely to cause damage, like, if not handled properly, diba? So,
yeah.
And the thing is, like, cycling has a lot of benefits, not just in terms of, in terms of safety, like, it's supposed to be safe. But then, aside from, you know, being safe, there are a lot of benefits that cycling offers. For example, in terms of pollution, cycling is one of the lowest, like, with lowest of carbon footprint, especially compared to other modes of transportation like cars. So if more people, like, ride the bike, other people are going to benefit as well. Because, like, the more people that are in cars, like, we've seen that, like, ever since, like, I think around 2014, 2015.
Yeah,
I think the rise of Grab and Uber, like, pollution got worse. And also, like, congestion. And that affects not just fellow, like, that affects everyone, like, from cyclists to pedestrians to commuters, even to people who drive cars. Like, everyone's stuck.
And since you mentioned pollution, no? That's also another misconception. People think that the pollution is so bad or too bad for bike riding.
Mm-hmm.
But there are studies that show that cycling benefits outweigh pollution exposure to pollution. The study actually mentioned that, diba, you need to be riding on the road for 8 hours straight bago maging harmful sa katawan mo yung exposure to pollution. Of course, that's a general study. The case might be different for people who have asthma or have other existing conditions. But in general, what if you're riding a bike, you're helping your body more than pollution is destroying it. And the fact is also, there are studies that show that people in cars are exposed to, and sometimes they're exposed to pollution even more than cyclists because essentially, you're trapped in a metal box. Of course, there's aircon, but you're not aware na parang na hot box in all the fumes. Whereas cyclists, when we pass through the road, of course, dumadaan lang sa mukha natin or sa skin natin yung smoke and the pollution, but we're not as exposed to it.
As someone who has asthma, I'm very allergic to dust. I'm very sensitive to dust. So currently what helps for me is to wear a mask. But imagine if I didn't have to wear a mask people who are sensitive. Because when I ride in other countries, like when I go on vacation with my family, I don't have to wear a mask. So
right.
Something I wish that I don't know, like, I'm already doing my part to, like, engage in a form of transportation that has less carbon footprint. Tapos ako pa yung kailangan mag-adjust ng naka-mask and stuff. And I think another interesting thing is, I think just because you're in an air-conditioned place doesn't mean like you're not inhaling the fumes. I think an important concept is concentration. So when you're riding outdoors, like, wala, like, you're in open air, eh? So even though, like, the pollution comes from the emission of vehicles, really, but then for the most part you're riding through it, you're cruising along. And but then if you're in a car, you're stuck in traffic and you're stuck in a metal box that, like, naka-concentrate, like, yung air particles. So I guess, like, you just don't feel it kasi maybe because of the air condition. But
it's an illusion, basically.
So,
but other than that, no? Since we also mentioned na, okay, when you're riding your bike, mas fit ka, you're getting exercise that helps your body. That active mobility keeps us healthy and actually staves us off chronic conditions. So things like, marami ng mga posts out there that mention the benefits of cycling to reduce risk of things like heart attacks, diabetes, and all sorts of other diseases and conditions that otherwise, if you were just riding in a car, you couldn't be worsening because you're not moving. As you know, your body's not moving.
Yeah, and as someone, I have several chronic conditions, but I found that cycling has actually helped me manage them a lot better. It's funny because sometimes even my mom says, like, don't exercise so much, you're going to stress your body out. But when I don't exercise, that's when I feel worse. Okay, this is not part of my chronic conditions, but right now, because I guess because I'm a bit overwhelmed with, like, work, so I had to stop cycling for a bit, and now, like, I have, like, this big pimple. My skin's not as nice. but yeah, in terms of like my gastritis, my premenstrual dysphoric disorder, like, cycling has been so instrumental in managing, like, the symptoms. Like when I don't exercise talaga, that's when I feel worse. So diba, like, cycling is, like, an affordable form of transport. It helps you get the exercise you need. Like, wow. And it brings you joy, diba? Very good for mental health.
Yeah. Okay, before we go to our last misconception, I think let's visit the comment section and see what our listeners and viewers have suggested. So, si Harley Henson Wong says, myth yung mas safe sa pinaka-outermost lane, as in near the gutter na ang lane positioning. And that's fair, no? Myth ngayon, because sometimes, if you're closer to the gutter, diba? Yung gutter, minsan meron yung damages, minsan madalas, madulas. Especially kung umuulan. And it's actually safer to probably be in the center of the lane. Aside from that, there are also more obstructions. We've posted about this also in the past where we showed photos na may mga obstructions sa outermost lane. Madalas dyan tumitigil biglaan yung mga jeepney, dyan nandyan yung mga pako, minsan pa nga, or I mentioned din ni Ryan Arioja kanina sa isang post natin na minsan may mga naka-expose na mga metal bars sticking out from the road. So, incidentally, the outermost lane of the road is usually the most risky part. So, you know, there is a way to stay on the outermost lane, but also switch lanes whenever it's necessary. We should have that option. But if we are being provided a protected bike lane, which is on the outermost lane, it's important sana that they're able to maintain it and make sure that, you know, wala yung mga lubak doon, there are no open manholes on the on the bike lane, so that it's really safe. It's not just putting bollards on the road, it's making sure that the actual surface is safe enough to ride on.
And generally, we just want to reiterate that cyclists should be able to ride wherever they feel the most safe. Like,
Kasi it's safety is the most important thing. Like, kasi ang hirap naman to just say, stick to the bike lanes. Eh, paano kung hindi safe yung bike lane itself? Especially, that's very apparent in Metro Manila. Like, kalayaan avenue pa lang eh.
Isang challenge din dyan is if the bike lane is on the rightmost or outermost part of the road, one reality is that we have to turn left, right? At some point,
there's
an intersection and we have to turn left. Of course, some people would say that maybe we should be using side mirrors, and that's definitely an option for people who can't, na hindi kayang lumingon to their left or right using their necks. They can put side mirrors, but that's something that that's an option that has to be available to people to be able to turn left by switching lanes at some point.
So another comment is from Brian Paul Heroin.
He says that a myth or misconception is that bikes are for short trips only. That's the misconception.
And we don't even have to base this on our own experience. We've met people who bike from Bulacan to Pasay every day.
Yeah.
So Bulacan nakatira, sa Pasay nagtatrabaho. It's really up to you. Of course, sa simula, if you're gonna try out short trips, but eventually, kung mahook ka or ma-enjoy mo siya, you can actually do it every day na long distance. People ride 40 kilometers a day, 70 meron pa. You also ride from Makati to QC, and that's not necessarily a short distance. Ilang kilometers ba yung trip mo from Makati to QC?
Between 18 to 20 kilometers one way.
One way, 18 to 20 kilometers.
And may mga paakyat eh, so.
Yeah, so there's climbing. And some people, one misconception is that, okay, short trips only, you can only ride a bike for 5 to 10 kilometers. And that's valid, but it's not only for short trips. You can use bikes for relatively longer trips. Of course, we're not talking about ODAX na 200 kilometer trips, diba? Iba na yun. Like, that takes a lot of guts and it's a sport for some people. But
and I think that's where the kind of bike you get would help you a lot. For example, nagagets ko naman yung mga some utility bikes and some yung mga Japanese surplus bikes getting from 5 to 10 kilometers lang. Nagagets ko naman eh kasi they're kind of heavy and stuff. But then, I think some other bikes like mountain, gravel, road, even folding bikes, they can get farther, I guess, because they're built in that sense.
Right. Si Chip Celiesa also says na one misconception is takaw hold up pag nakabike kesa pag nakakotse. And I've heard of that experience na may mga hold up or naaagawan ng bike. But I haven't experienced it myself. But if you're going to compare it to cars, di ba, yung mga kotse na nakapark, nababasagan, like binabasag yung mga salamin, your property gets stolen even if it's inside the car. So I'm not sure if the data could actually prove that misconception. But generally, if you're able to ride faster, probably you can escape a holdup or something. You can just ride away. And in terms of parking, talagang one practical way is to make sure that when you're parking, hindi mo iiwan yung lights mo, yung button bike mo.
Because I learned that the hard way.
Okay, ilang beses na ako nanakawan. So, fact pa rin yun na may mananakawan ka, pero it's not necessarily worse than if you're driving a car.
Yeah, and I think that's why end-of-trip facilities are very important, because that problem could easily be solved if more investments were made to make sure that there's safe and secure bicycle parking.
Right. Another comment is, misconception is, cyclists are cliquish and unwelcoming to newcomers.
It's ironic because it's the exact opposite. I think
we've been told that like, oh, I'm scared to like do cycling because like I drive a car. What if like you'll judge me? But no, like we would want like more people to convert to riding bikes more. I still take a car, like especially because like sometimes my parents are like, no, mag car ka na lang. So like wala. So, but yeah. Go ahead.
The places it's coming from is when people wear jerseys, di ba? Honestly, di ba? Pag nakakita ng jerseys yung mga tao, minsan na intimidate sila, na feeling, di ba? Mukhang feeling pro yung naka-jersey. But when you can try, if you feel like cliquish or unwelcoming to newcomers ang mga cyclists, try waving at them, and there's a strong chance that they will wave back at you. And that's just one of the many signs that prove that cyclists are very welcoming, very helpful on the road. And I think even in the online realm, di ba? As a member of Bike to Work Pilipinas, doon ko nakita talaga na welcoming yung mga cyclists doon. Tutulungan ka nila, bigyan silang maraming advice.
Definitely. As in, well, I guess because cycling has just such a human element to it. Like, I guess unlike, for example, cars, like you're shielded by like the windows and stuff. But when you're cycling, like you're out there, like and you're really powering it yourself. So I don't know, like I just feel so much more human cycling. Oh wow.
Yes, exactly. I guess one last misconception that we can discuss, since we've already gone through the comments. One misconception, I guess, about cycling is that biking is only for bikers. And this is where our labels start to become a limitation, no? When we're talking, referring to cyclists or bikers. Mm-hmm. People think that there is a... But you have to be legit. May ganun, na? Bikers lang yan. Ako, hindi ako biker. I'm just a regular person. But really, a bike should be available to anyone as a mode of transport.
Yeah.
Any person na humawak at gumamit ng bisikleta ay isang biker or isang cyclist. That's why we don't really, I don't know if people know this, but we try not to use too many labels na is that person a folding bike rider or a bike commuter. Sometimes we use bike commuter just to indicate that that person commutes by bike. But literally, anyone who rides a bike can be called a cyclist. It doesn't have to be just about pro cyclists or people who ride bikes for sport. And that's, I think that's an important misconception to debunk. To our friends who are trying or thinking about riding a bike, once you ride that bike, to us, you are a cyclist. You are welcome to join us.
Yeah, and this is a misconception that I believe for the longest time, because I think I'm a good example because wala, like I was sedentary for so long. I hadn't done any form of proper exercise for years, and I felt that I could only start cycling if I was fit enough or if I was athletic enough. But ironically, the way you get better is to just bike more. So you don't have to be super... I mean, of course, I'm not saying that you should be reckless. Of course not. Like, take the proper precautions. Mm-hmm. But these are precautions that, like, you don't have to be an expert to do. Like, just know, like, try to familiarize yourself with, I guess, basic hand signals once you're able to remove, like, one hand from the handlebar or cycle at a level you're comfortable with. Maybe start with a protected area. Approach people who know how to bike commute or bike. Just be incremental about it. But that doesn't mean you should... perfection right now, it's like the enemy of good, right? Like, just go for it. Like,
yeah.
And stuff. So, and...
You don't have to be Kuya Kim. All right. So, we hope that clarifying these myths and misconceptions will help people consider riding their bikes. If you know someone who has these reservations, please consider sharing this episode with them, to your friends, relatives, a significant other. Diba? Also, we're not cliquish. Even cycling matters. Feel free to reach out to us anytime if you have other issues. If you have questions, we're always open. You can always message us at on our Facebook page. Actually, madami nag-message. They ask questions and we're always happy to help. We'll always try to settle your mind and maybe get you and your friends on bikes and have a good time.
Yes, definitely. Like, the more people who choose cycling, or at least support cycling, the better. Like wala, like, it's not about like, oh, ako yung nauna or whatever. Ganun talaga. Like, we just want more people on the bike for, like, not just the community, but for the betterment of everyone. Because, yeah, it's for the good of all. I will. Okay. So, thank you. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to this live episode of the Cycling Matters podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, do subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you can find podcasts. Our episodes are the next best thing to riding your bike on a Monday. Just search Cycling Matters on your favorite podcast platform. Put on some earphones and enjoy the discussion. You can catch more of us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, or on our website at cyclingmatters.ph. Again, thank you so much for tuning in.
We'll catch you
on the next episode of the Cycling Matters podcast. Until then, stay safe and ride safe, Philippines.